Each joint supplies to the need of the other where it's connected, and I'm so thankful for that. I really, really am. I'm not trying to single out Brother Berglund. It's just a recent example, but the way the Lord used him to minister to the congregation in the East Side was very rich and beautiful and very necessary, and I'm thankful that the Lord put him in the body, and I'm thankful that he put him close enough to where I am in the body that I reap some of that. Amen. And I'm thankful that as great big as this body is, the Lord knows where he needs to place us and who he needs around us and who we need to be around. And I don't want to fall into the trap of looking for another place in the body. Sometimes there's growing pains. And this isn't what I'm going to talk about tonight, I don't think. Sometimes there's growing pains. And I got a 12-year-old boy, and he's had growing pains the last little while. Not as bad the last 4 or 5 months, but my legs hurt. And it's just part of him getting taller. And but I didn't tell him, you know, son, maybe we can look for a way to just take your leg and put it somewhere else. And I bet that'll make you feel better. You know, let's just disconnect that thing and put it somewhere else, and maybe it won't hurt, and you'll feel like that's where it belongs. We must learn that being in the body of Christ, God places us. And if the growing causes pain sometimes, that's not a time to say, man, something's not right, I need to be somewhere else in the body. It's a time to recognize sometimes growth means there's pain. And if we look at pain and say, pain is hurt, and so I'm not interested, what we do is we actually cut off our ability to grow in the body of Christ the way he intends. You know, the Bible talks about us all growing in the fullness and the stature of Christ. Another place talks about Christ being formed in us. Those are things of growth. And more often than not, where I've experienced growth in my life, it hasn't been comfortable. Now, hindsight's a beautiful thing. And as long as we stay in the process long enough, we can look back and thank God. But if we're not careful, we can look at the process we're in and we can, dare I say, curse God. As though he doesn't know where we are. Or maybe we know he knows where we are, but why would he leave us here if he knows where we are? And so there are pains at times that come with growing in the body of Christ that are his design. And his design is perfect. And the challenge for each of us is the fact that he leaves us with our own free will. And so when the growing pain is there, we can disconnect if we choose. And maybe you're saying, well, I haven't disconnected, I'm still here. Just for what it's worth, it is possible to disconnect and still be here. And so I don't want to do that. And sometimes we say, well, I'm protecting myself. I'm going to just sort of put up some walls and I'm going to, till I get through this, because I don't want to deal with any more pain. Sometimes it's part of the process in the body of Christ. I don't know what that's all about. I just trust the Holy. Why don't we pray before we go any further here in the Word? Can we do that right now? Jesus, I trust you because you are the master builder. You said each one in the body is not only you see fit, but as you know is right. I trust you, Father. I'll not lean to my own understanding. I'll not lean to my own reasoning, Father. I trust you. I thank you for the body of Christ and each and every member in particular. Father, let me to acknowledge that you are in control. Take control. Let me not try to do it, but let you form and fashion according to your will. Let us grow in the unity of the faith. Be formed in us, I pray. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Can I encourage you to a Bible study sometime in the next little while? Because we're not going to go through it tonight, but can I encourage you to study the seven churches in the book of Revelation? You know, the book of Revelation was written, of course, by John about the end of the world. And apparently Christ thought it was very important to send a message to the seven churches so that they would be ready when he came. And if you'll take that approach when you look at the seven churches, what was the Lord pointing out? What was he encouraging them to continue? What was he seeking to instruct them in that they change? It was all part of him preparing them for his soon return. And if you believe that we live in an hour that he's soon returning, we can take lots of stuff, vital information that will apply to our lives practically and spiritually from the study of the seven churches, for whatever that's worth. Hebrews chapter 11. I may just read a few things and sit down. Hebrews 11, verse 32. What shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith, it's important, not willpower, not through great spirituality, through faith, they subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions, they quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Through faith. Those are some amazing things in those two verses we just read that they accomplished through faith. Verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured through faith. Through faith, they were tortured, not accepting deliverance, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. See, and you'll receive this in the context I know that I intend you to. Sometimes deliverance isn't really deliverance at all. And the Holy Ghost, if we hold fast to our faith, will give us discernment to know, hold on, I'm not accepting that deliverance. Because to accept that deliverance is to give up on a better resurrection that's coming. Through faith, they did not accept deliverance so that they might obtain a better resurrection. Verse 36, others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yes, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. These are real people. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented through faith, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, mountains, dens, caves of the earth, and these all obtained a good report through faith. But they didn't receive the promise. And I don't even know if I can relate to that kind of faith. They endured it. They never received the promise. Why? Verse 40, God having provided some better thing for us. You realize we are benefactors of their faith. We are recipients of blessing and promise that is continued through as a result of their faith. It's not just my faith or your faith. It's the faith of the body of Christ through the ages. That they without us should not be made perfect or complete. Verse 12, wherefore, chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, there comes a charge to us from the word of, and I know many of you could just quote this scripture. I hope it'll do more than quote tonight. Wherefore, because of all this that was done through faith, because of everything that was endured through faith, wherefore, as a result, us seeing that we're surrounded by all this cloud of witnesses that did all this through faith, let us, now the writer comes to where we are, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which can so easily or does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Go to the book of Revelation, would you? Revelation chapter 2. I believe that chapter 11 of Hebrews is there, not just as a testimony of the heroes of faith, but as an encouragement to us that come what may, whatever we face, we can still hold fast to faith. And at times, in my human nature, I would like to think that what I read in Hebrews 11 was a different age. And I realize times have changed. But I firmly believe the spirits that they dealt with that caused them to go through and endure some things that they did for faith or through faith are just as real today as they were then. And my human nature would like to think, hey, I don't have to deal with any of that. Thank God I'm in the land of the free, the home of the brave. I live in the 2000s and we're much more advanced. But I did read one place in Scripture that said, that Jesus said, all men will be persecuted for my name's sake. One place he said, you have not yet resisted. I think he said unto blood. He didn't say you won't. He just said you haven't yet. That's a different dimension of faith. And some here have traveled or even lived in other parts of the world and have witnessed what it means to hold on through faith that brings about this type of thing we read in Hebrews 11 in some cases. It's important in this hour, I'm sure more than ever, to determine what I'm willing to do through faith and where I stand through faith. Revelation 2, the Lord was speaking to one of the churches, the church at Smyrna, and he made a statement to them. You know, he said, I know your works, your tribulation. But verse 10, he makes this statement. I don't know why it stood out to me so much the other day. He said, fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Now notice, he didn't say, fear none of those things which you might suffer. The thing about the Lord is, that I appreciate so much about him and his word, is he never tries to lure us in and then drop the bombshell. Can I say it that way? He's very clear. You know, he told the disciples, he said, you know, if you're not willing to hate your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, and leave all and forsake me, you're not worthy to be my disciple. Well, there you go. We live in a day and an hour that it's, I don't know, it's a good idea to be diplomatic. But the Lord was very, very clear, very honest. And so when he's speaking to the church there, he said, I don't want you to fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Now, I'm not here tonight to preach suffering, I don't think. But I think it would do us well to know that in a life lived for Christ, suffering is part of the process. Read the books Peter wrote. If you read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Peter, he had a theme. His whole theme was suffering. He understood. And are you guys all right? We're going to talk about this just a few minutes here, I think. I think I know where I'm going all of a sudden. The Bible says Christ himself, Christ learned obedience. Now, that almost sounds like something's wrong just with those words. You mean Christ had to learn obedience? Didn't he just obey? I mean, he was God in the flesh. But the scripture says Christ learned obedience by the things which he suffered. You understand, faith is truly obedience. Faith isn't believing. Faith is believing with action. It's obedience. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. By faith, Abraham offered his son. Faith is obedience. It's action. It's belief with action. Through suffering, Christ learned obedience. Faith moves in greater operation in your life as a product at times of suffering. So you want great faith to move mountains. You want faith to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Peter said in one place, he said, after you have suffered a while. Now I'd like to skip that part and just jump to the latter part of the verse. Anybody with me there? Yes, he said, after you've suffered a while, then Christ will strengthen. What do you mean, after I've suffered? I need strength while I'm suffering. Isn't that how we think? I need strength for the suffering I know I'm getting ready to deal with. But Peter said, after you've suffered a little while, then the Lord's going to strengthen you. Then he's going to establish you. And to me, the best part, I really do, I think the best, he's going to settle you. And isn't that really what we oftentimes, when we're avoiding suffering, we're thinking, I just want to be settled. The scripture said, after you've suffered a little while, he'll strengthen, establish, and settle you. I don't know that at times we put so much energy into avoiding suffering that we prolong the process that we so desperately pray for God to perform in our lives, because we're resisting the suffering that he wants us to endure. I mean, let's be honest with ourselves here. Looking across the room, there's not very many of us that are really young. Really being the operative word there. There's a few teenagers and young kids in here, but most of the room, the majority of the room is 40 plus tonight. If we look back over our lives in our walk with God, and we look at times of suffering, no matter the degree that we've come through, we can probably point to those areas and those times in our life and look at things that God specifically developed in our walk and relationship with him during those seasons of suffering. Is that a fair statement? You think about the testimony you share with people at times. You talk about the goodness of God, and you share things about trusting God, and you share things about the ability and the power of God, and your testimony of all that he's done. Oftentimes, if you look, that testimony came out of your season of suffering. Your testimony was born not out of, man, I'm telling you, life has just been golden and rosy, and I hit the lottery, and I live high, and glory be to Jesus. Let the hallelujahs roll. Sorry. Some songs get me. And so suffering produces things in our life by God's design. It's not punishment to teach us a lesson. It's God's blessing to grow us into what he intends. Through suffering, Christ learned obedience. Now, I don't share this with you as the guy who's been there, done all that. But I make this statement carefully but boldly. Whatever it takes, I want that. It was the picture of Paul's statement, to me, one of the greatest statements he ever made. He said, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering. Paul identified with something. He identified with the fact that the power of Christ's resurrection can never really be known until I've identified by fellowshipping his suffering. He didn't say, I want to fellowship his resurrection and know the power of suffering. That would have been better, maybe. But he said, I want the power of the resurrection, but I want to fellowship his suffering. Study that out a little bit. Don't answer this for me, but just think about this. When's the last time you prayed, Lord, I want to know you in the fellowship of your suffering? And some of you are sitting here and going, I'm not praying that. I'm just going to wait. And I'm not judging anybody for that. But you understand, suffering's a part of his design. What kind of testimony do we have to the world when in suffering we still glorify God? When in suffering we still exalt and magnify Him? When in suffering we still reach to a lost and dying world? When in suffering what's happened is then we realize my life's not mine anyway. And so whatever I'm enduring, whatever suffering I'm dealing with in my life right now, it must be designed by God for His glory. And if He's going to get glory out of it, then it's right where I want to be. The fellowship of His suffering. I believe those in Hebrews 11 identified with that. Because they didn't accept deliverance. Why? They wanted to obtain a better resurrection. They knew the power of resurrection that they were hoping in. And so suffering was part of the process. Let me read just, I don't even know if this ties in, but I got to read this anyway. Revelation chapter 6, and I'm almost done. Read Revelation 5 and 6 when you have time, but slow down and read it. I'm getting older, so I read slower. All right, anybody relate to that? And it's a good thing. I used to be able to read really fast, and I can still read fast if I try, but here lately, sometimes, Brother Tom's, it takes me a week to get through a chapter. I just read slow now. And I'm okay with that. I like slow reading. Read Revelation 5 and 6, and don't rush through it. Would you let it talk to you? Oh, my goodness. I don't know if there's two more powerful chapters in the whole Bible. I'm sure, I hate saying stuff like that, but man alive. You got to read Revelation 5 and 6. But listen at this. Revelation 6, of course, is the six seals. And the first four seals are, of course, all the horses, right? The white horse, the black horse, the red horse, and the pale horse. And so, but then you come to the fifth seal. And we have this beautiful picture of the lamb that's, right? The elders declared the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. He's worthy to open. And so then, of course, John looks and says, and I looked, and in the midst of the throne, surrounded by the elders, I saw this lamb. And then, of course, you read further, and the lamb is the one that's opening the seals. And so there's a whole oneness Bible study for another time. But we get to the sixth one. And let's just read it. Revelation 6. Verse number 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar. Can you imagine John seeing this? I've prayed, God, help me somehow to see, even if it's just a similitude of what he saw. I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Verse 10, they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true? How long do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Verse 11, and white robes were given to every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season. Now watch this. I really believe this ties right in with Hebrews 11 and 12. They should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now, I know that's not it. You're like, oh, hold on. I like the way it started. I'm not sure about the way it finished. There are those that through faith endured all those things that we read in Hebrews 11. And some of them were sawn asunder. I believe that's some of the souls that were under the altar. the ones that gave themselves for their testimony. And when that fifth seal was opened, John saw them there. And the question they had is maybe the question we have sometimes even in our life. Lord, when are you going to avenge me of my adversaries? When are you going to come to my rescue to free me or deliver me from those that have persecuted me for what I stood for? I find it interesting that he said, you need to just rest a little longer. That didn't sound like a place of rest to me. But apparently, not rest until I am ready to come and avenge them, but rest until your fellow servants and your brethren that are, if I can say it this way, still in the fight, still holding the faith that you held to, until they've run their course and they've joined you. You see, it's really true. This world is not our home. Thank God. We have a hope beyond this life. And the role that growing pains where we started or suffering where we walked through plays in that is critical. I believe it's critical in this final hour. Because if we are a church that is bent on staying comfortable and free from suffering and pain, we limit the ability of God to manifest the power of his resurrection. And if you read the book of Acts, great grace was upon them all. And what, they gave witness, is that what it says, of his resurrection? Is that the right words? To give true witness of his resurrection, suffering is a prerequisite. That doesn't make me fear, right? If you keep reading through Hebrews 12, he endured the cross. Why? Because of joy that was set before him. The resurrection was the joy that was set before him and what it accomplishes in the earth. Amen? Praise God. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Hart. That was so refreshing. Now, on a little lighter note, I wanted to say this. I had a wonderful voting experience this year. We started voting by mail. And I just wanted to tell you that I enjoyed sitting down with my wife and reading through and casting my vote. Now, when I returned from Maryland, I got on the Washington State website, and I went to look to see where everything happened, and I realized I don't think a person I voted for was elected. And so I thought, oh, okay, well, I still enjoyed my voting experience. And when I got out of bed on November the 7th, that was this morning, right? I had peace. Amen. Our confidence is truly in him. Our trust is in him. Amen. Praise God. I hope you had a good experience. Amen. Let's stand.